encourage you to bring your Bibles, bring your Bible app if you have a smartphone. It's Bible apps, by the way, are free, and we have free Wi-Fi here, so there's no excuse to download, not to download one if you have a smartphone. You can do all that right here. I want to share today a message that the Lord just kind of laid on my heart this week. See, I truly believe this, that God wants to do greater things in our lives. He wants to do greater things in our church, amen? He wants to do greater things in our city, amen? I believe one of the greatest things that God wants to do in our lives is that He wants to give us life. Jesus said that the reason He came to earth was so that we might have life and that we would have it more abundantly. But the problem we face is this, is that so many Christians are not living the life that Jesus has called us to live. And while we may profess that Jesus is our King and He is our Lord, the truth is that we're still as broken and as confused and as anxious and as stressed and as depressed and as hopeless as the people who don't know Jesus. I was heartbroken this past week to hear about a fellow pastor, a popular pastor, a rising pastor, if you will, in the pastoral community. I was heartbroken to hear that he took his own life this week. Here was a man who loved the Lord and was actively serving his community, actively serving in his church. And he was very open about the issues that he had, the depression that he went through. He even started an organization to help people that were dealing with mental health and depression issues. And he was working hard to break those issues. He was going to counseling and he was trying to get the help he needed. And yet he was still broken inside. See, the truth is this, that so often the only difference between Christians and those in the world is that we go to church on Sundays. And other than that, we're not really that different. But I say that to say this, that I truly believe that that's not the way God intends for us to live our life. See, scriptures declare that Jesus came so that we would have a life of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Maybe, just maybe, the reason we're not experiencing the life Jesus came to give us is because we have yet to get healed from the issues that keep us so chained and in bondage. I believe this, that the most important thing we can do in order for God to perform greater things in our life is simply to get well. We have got to get well. So this morning, I want to talk to you. I want to introduce maybe some of you to a person in the Bible who was broken, a person in the Bible who was hopeless, and Jesus healed him. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 5. John chapter 5, we're going to begin reading at verse 1. Like always, if you didn't bring your Bibles, the scriptures will be up on the screen behind us so you can follow on there. But let me encourage you, bring your Bibles, bring something to write down on. Open up your notes inside your phone. Take notes. It will truly help you to retain stuff, to remember stuff, to grow in the Lord. John chapter 5, verse 1 says this. Says, sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. There are three Jewish festivals that Jews would go to in Jerusalem three times a year. There was Passover, there was Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. This is one of those festivals. It says, now there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. And here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, and the paralyzed. And one who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, do you want to get well? And the invalid replied, sir, I have no one to help me get into the pool when the water is stirred. And while I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. And then Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. And at once the man was cured, and he picked up his mat and walked. Can we pray one more time for the reading of the word? Father, we love you. God, I pray this word will be transformational in someone's life today. God, it seems like this whole service is fitting together, is speaking to people who are hurt and broken. Lord, speak to them today. In Jesus' name. Jesus said, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. And this man got up, picked up his mat, and he began to walk. Some of you might be saying, well, how is that comparable to me, right? I am not physically crippled, right? I am not an invalid. I am not paralyzed. Listen, you may not be paralyzed physically, but you may very well have issues that have caused you to become paralyzed mentally, emotionally, or even spiritually. Your problems bring you so much pain that they can at times immobilize you. Have you ever been gripped with so much emotional distress that you don't even want to get out of bed? You're just stuck where you are. Listen, just like this man who Jesus healed, this paralyzed man, this invalid who Jesus healed, I believe this, that Jesus wants to heal you today also. So I believe this story reveals three principles that we must pay attention to, that we must begin to practice if we want to get well. How many of y'all want to get well? Man, I want to be well. The first principle is this, is that if we're going to get well, we must exercise patience. See, this man was paralyzed. He was invalid for 38 years. That's a long time, isn't it? Especially when you consider that the average lifespan of a person during this time was what? 39 years. Certainly, his situation must have seemed impossible. Right? He's been sitting in that same place for such a long time. You see, the longer you're in a situation, the more that reality sets in and the less hope you have that things are ever going to change. See, but God often waits for long periods of time before he brings about the miracles that we need. Right? Think about Noah. He had to wait 120 years. Think about Abraham and Sarah. They received the promise of a son, and yet 15 years went by before they actually received that promise. Think about Joseph. He had a dream. He was going to do something great for God. And instead, he was thrown into a pit. And he was sold as a slave and he was put into a jail. And 13 years went by before he actually received his promise from God. Think about Moses. He sat out there looking at sheep for 40 years before he saw that burning bush. That burning bush said, hey, you need to go visit that man named Pharaoh and you need to tell him to let my people go. The Israelites, 40 years in the wilderness before they could reach the promised land. David is anointed king, and he goes through 13 years of just pain, problems, and hell in his life. King Saul wanting to kill him, running for his life before he finally becomes king. Right, when we look over in the New Testament, we have the woman with the issue of blood for 12 years before she touches the hem of Jesus' garment. And here, this man is 38 years old. See, the question is, why does God so often make us wait before he gives us the miracle we need? And I believe the reason is, it's because he's teaching us patience. You know, that word patience is probably one of the most underrated words in all of Scripture, in all of the Bible. But isn't it amazing what God can do in and through us if we learn just to simply be patient? See, because patience reveals God's process. So understand this, that getting well is not an event. It is a process. Somewhere along the way, we've been conditioned to believe that we need to receive from God instantly. Right? You want to be rich? No problem. Just have someone lay hands on you and you'll be rich. Right, you want to be free? No problem. We'll just lay some hands on you. You'll be free. Right? You want to Receive your miracle? No problem. We'll just lay hands on you and you'll receive your miracle. Here's the truth, that rarely does God operate in that way. Rarely is that how God works. See, rarely do our issues disappear when someone lays hands upon us. And the truth is this, some of you have had so much anointing poured over your life that you look like a pig at a county fair. That was a joke. Just to lighten the mood a little bit. See, the problem is this, as we tend to view everything with an event mindset. If I can just go to that event, then I'll receive my miracle. Right? If I can just go hear this preacher, then I'll get what I need. If I can just go over here, if I just hear this teaching, then or this person will touch me, then it will happen. So often when we think that way, when we do that, we short-circuit the process that God wants to use to heal us and make us whole. You see, God works through the process. Why? Because if God just did everything we asked Him to do the minute we asked Him to do it, we would never develop into the kind of people that He wants us to be. Therefore, we must learn to be patient in the process. See, James, the brother of Jesus, he says this. He tells us to count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work. Why? That you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. See, James tells us two very important things about patience. First, he tells us that God uses the process of trials and tribulations to teach us patience. He uses the process of trials and tribulations to teach us patience. And number two, he tells us to let patience work. We've got to let patience work. See, whether you know it or not, patience is working something in your life. Right? When you can't see God's hand on that situation, notice that patience is at work. Right, when it feels like God is a million miles away, know this, that patience is at work. When you don't know what to do, when you don't know where to turn to, patience is at work. See, God has not left you. He has not abandoned you. No, patience is working something in your life. Right, when the farmer plants the seed, he can't see beneath the soil. Right, he can't see what's happening with the seed. He just needs to be patient until the crop forms. And it's the same way with us. We can't always see what's happening. We just have to be patient until the harvest comes. See, the end result of patience is a man or a woman who is mature and fully equipped for doing God's work. See, God's will for our lives is not to go through life without pain. Rather, God's will for our lives is for us to become mature and fully equipped despite the pain or in spite of the pain. Secondly, I want to understand this, that patience reveals God's glory. That many times we want God to move on our behalf because He knows. Or many times God doesn't move on our behalf because He knows that if He moves too quickly, that some human being will take credit for His work. So God waits to move. Why? Because He doesn't want anyone else to be ascribed the glory that is deserved His. And so often God waits till every vestige of human hope has been exhausted, and then He steps in. Why? So that He can receive the glory. See, for Abraham and Sarah, He waited until there was no possible way that they could have a baby biologically. And then He opened up Sarah's womb. Right, when Lazarus died, Jesus waited 4 days before He went to see Lazarus. Why is that? Because the Jews believed that the spirit hovered over the body for 3 days. And so He waited for the fourth day before He came to Lazarus and said, Lazarus, come forth. See, God wants us to be patient. Why? So that He can receive the glory. Here's the second principle that we've got to put into practice. That's this. If we're going to get well, we must exercise courage. We've got to be courageous. Now pay particular attention to the question Jesus asked this man. He asked him, do you want to get well? Now, why would Jesus ask a question like that? I mean, isn't it obvious this man wants to get well? Well, no, not necessarily. You see, sometimes people are in the situation that they're in because they want to be. Sometimes they enjoy the sympathy from others. Sometimes they revel in the attention that it gives them. And in kind of a perverted way, their sickness becomes their identity. That they feed off the attention they get. See, the truth is this, that oftentimes people are in the situation that they're in because they lack the courage to change their circumstances. They simply lack the courage to stand up and say, no, I'm going to be something different. I'm going to do something different. So you understand this, that to get well, we have to exercise the courage to confront our fears. We have to exercise the courage to confront our fears. See, now, here's a problem we have in church, is that we always try to hide our weaknesses, right? We always try to hide our issues. We always try to hide our pain, right? Just hoping that no one will notice. We live in this fear of people, right? Our Christian brothers and sisters, that they'll discover that we're actually damaged and we're actually broken. And so we come to church with our issues and we put on our religious mask and we act like everything is fine. And then at the end of service, we go home just as broken, just as damaged. But can I tell you something? Let me tell you something. It is okay for you to be broken and damaged. Did you hear me? It is okay for you to be broken and damaged. Right? Somebody needs to hear that. It is okay to be broken and damaged. But please understand this. It is not okay for you to stay that way. It is not okay for you to stay that way. In other words, if you are going to get well, you are going to have to get real. See, but the problem we've had in church is that we've made church into something that it's not supposed to be. Listen, Jesus created church to be a place of healing. Right, a place where broken and damaged people can come and they can find healing and they can find wholeness. Let me make this clear. Like, God has given me a vision. He's given us a vision, right? A mandate, if you will, that we are going to be a place where people can find healing. Right? We are called to be a city on the hill, right? That's our claim to fame. We are Hilltop. We are the city on the hill, right? We are called to be a city of refuge, right? We're not called to be the social club, right? We're not called to be the Elk Lodge. And let me say this, we're not even called to be the local Assembly of God church or the local charismatic or Pentecostal church. See, God has given us a bigger vision than that. See, God's given us a vision to be a church for the entire city. For anyone who is broken and hurt, they can come and they can pick up the broken, the hurt pieces of their lives and they can begin to dream again. And this is what I'm trying to say. That for some of you here today, you need to begin to confront your fear. You need to begin to reveal your weaknesses. Because let me tell you, we all have weaknesses. And you need to begin to watch God heal you. Secondly, understand this, that to get well, we have to exercise courage to confront our false theology. You see, there was a legend surrounding this pool. The legend is this, that an angel would come and an angel would stir the water, and the first one to jump in that pool after the angel stirred the water would be healed. Now, scholars tell us that this pool in Bethesda was a shrine to the pagan god Asclepius, who was the Roman god of healing. It was a pagan place of worship. And it was a place that many people went because they believed the superstitions associated with this place. This man came there because he believed the myths. He believed the superstition. He believed the false theology around this place. And I say this, that we need to be careful also, because we as a church, we can become very superstitious and we can begin to believe things that quite frankly are not true doctrine. We can simply believe doctrine that is simply not true. And this is very important because there are people out there who are teaching stuff that is quite frankly garbage. Things like, well, if you're sick, it's because you have sin in your life. Things like, oh, the reason you don't get healed is because you don't have any faith. Or the reason you're poor is because you're disobedient. Or if you want to get saved, you got to speak in tongues. Some teach that you can only pray for something once, because if you pray more than once, then you have no faith. Some teach that that's never God's will for you to be a sick or afflicted or to suffer. Let me tell you, these are nothing more than superstitions. Oh, they're lined with a grain of truth, but so often they are taken to the extreme. And what they do is they leave people more hurt, more depressed, more crushed, because they can't understand why God isn't hearing my prayers. Why isn't God answering me? What does Paul tell Timothy about this? He says to have nothing to do with godless myths or old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. See, here's the truth. If you want to get well, you have to believe the right things. Right? You have to have the correct theology. See, Jesus said that you will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. See, understand this. There's a reason why Jesus came to this pagan shrine. And the reason why he came to this pagan shrine is to let everyone know that he is the great physician. Not this pagan god, Asclepius. It was Jesus who was the great physician. It was Jesus was the one who could heal a person. I just simply tell him to get up, pick up your mat, and walk. He didn't need to dip in a pool. He didn't need to be lifted up. He didn't need to be touched. Third thing we have to understand is this, is that to get well, we have to exercise courage to confront our excuses. See, notice excuses that this paralyzed man had, right? Oh, it's somebody else's fault. Well, if someone would just help me get down this pool, then I would get there. Oh, but somebody always gets there first. Listen, we will not get well until we stop blaming other people for our problems. We will not get well until we stop blaming other people and start taking responsibility for our own situations. Right? I know you had a rough lot of life. I know you were born in the projects and you were born with a silver spoon in your mouth, but that's no excuse. Oh, it might be a little harder. It might take a little bit more, but you got to pick yourself up. See, I know this is hard because in America, we become a society of victims. Right? And everybody is a victim. Right? It's always someone else's fault. Don't blame me. But listen, only when you take responsibility for your situations in life will you begin to find healing and see God do even greater things in your life. See, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 28 that whosoever conceals sin will not prosper, but whoever reveals sins and confesses sin will prosper. So understand this, if we're going to prosper, we have to own up to our own sins. We have to own up to our own issues in life, if you will. Right? We know this paralyzed man, he was partly paralyzed. It was partially his fault. Now, how do we know that? Because later on, after he's healed, Jesus bumps into him at the temple. And what does Jesus tell him? He says, you better stop sinning or something worse is going to fall on you. See, if we're going to get well, we've got to confront the excuses in our own life. We have to learn to cast them aside. We have to stop playing the victim card. We have to start to make the changes necessary. Right? If you're struggling financially, it doesn't do you any good to sit back and just keep complaining about it. You got to try something different. Right? If you're struggling in your marriage, you need to try something different because it's not working. You need to figure out a way for your marriage not to struggle. If you're struggling emotionally, you got to try something different. Stop making excuses why you grew up so bad, and that's why you got the rough lot in life. Finally, the last principle I want us to grab a hold of today is this, is that if we're going to get well, we must exercise some faith. See, notice that Jesus didn't coddle this man. He simply commanded him to get up, pick up his mat, and begin to walk. In other words, Jesus was telling this man to exercise some faith. Sometimes you got to do a little bit on your own. See, sometimes we mistakenly think that we have to have some sort of supernatural faith for God to do something in our lives. See, but the truth is this, is that you don't need a lot of faith, right? Jesus said you just need a small amount of faith, right? Just the size of a mustard seed grain, and God could cause you to move mountains. See, all we need to do is exercise that little faith that we have. How do we exercise our faith? A couple things. Number one, we exercise our faith when we respond to His Word. When we respond to Jesus talking to us. How does He do that? Sometimes through the Word of God. Sometimes sitting in the chairs, and all of a sudden the preacher says something, you start, whew, He's talking to me. See, some of you who have been down so long that you don't even know if you can get up. But listen, Jesus would not command you to get up if He didn't know that you could do it. You can get up. See, God just wants us to take that simple step of faith. Not the leap of faith, just a simple step of faith. One step at a time. We respond to His Word. Why? Because when God speaks, miracles happen. You need to understand that. See, Jesus said that it is that the words He speaks are spirit and they are life. They are supernatural. And if we will respond to His Word, we will find healing. Right, the wedding of Canaan, Mary told the man, just listen to Jesus, and what happened? Water was turned into wine. Jesus commanded Peter to get out of the boat. What happened? He started walking on water. Right? When the disciples were fishing, they'd been fishing all night. They didn't catch a thing. Jesus came and He said, cast your net on the other side. And Peter said, at your word, Lord, we will cast the nets. And all of a sudden, there were so many fish in that net that they couldn't even pull it all up on the boat. See, some of you who just need to take a step of faith. There's some of you who just need to respond to His Word. Just do something about your situation. Listen, things are not going to get better in your life if you keep on doing the same old things. Right? That's the definition of insanity, right? Right? Doing the same things in the same way and yet expecting something different. Right? If you want to get well, you've got to get up. Right? Go to a Christian counselor. Right? Go apologize to someone. Go speak to somebody. Right? Go have a conversation. Just do something. Get up and do something. I love what David says, Psalm 40. He says, He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and He gave me a firm place to stand. Listen, He wants to do the same thing with you. All He's waiting for you is for you to respond in faith. Secondly, we respond in faith. We exercise our faith when we pick up our mat and we begin to walk. See, not only did this paralyzed man get up, but he picked up his mat and he began to walk. Listen, God not only wants us to get up and get out of our situations and get out of our circumstances, but He wants us to pick up our mat and He wants us to walk out the journey that He has for your life. To pick up your mat is to leave your past behind, to focus on the future that God has for you. Listen, you can't do anything about your past, whether it was good or bad, you can't do anything about it. And in so doing, understand this, that God sets us free. Why? So that we might set others free. In so doing, God comforts us. Why? So that we might comfort others. In so doing, God heals us. Why? So that we might heal others. Jesus told Peter that when you're converted to what? Strengthen your brothers. So please understand, the same power that brought you out of the pit is the same power that can bring someone else out of their pit. Acts 3, Peter and John, they're on their way to the temple to pray, and they come across this man who is lame, and he's begging for alms. Peter fastened his belt, and full of faith, he said, "Rise up and walk." And immediately this man jumped to his feet, and he started leaping, and he started running, and he started praising God. See, Peter and John exercised faith, and this man was healed. And what I'm trying to tell you is if you begin to exercise a little faith, then greater things will happen in your life also. Listen, if you want to see greater things in your life, you have got to get well. It takes a couple of things, right? It's going to take some patience on your part because it's not going to happen immediately every time. You can't give up. It's going to take some courage on your part because you're going to have to stand up. You're going to have to do something different. It's going to take some faith. You're going to have to take a step of faith and say, I'm going to go in the opposite direction. Listen, God wants to heal you of your brokenness. I truly believe that. He wants to heal you of your pain. Like, don't let your issues rob you of what God wants to do in your life. He has something so much greater in store for you. You surrender your life to Him. Stop wearing that mask. You experience His healing power. Amen. Let's pray this morning. Father, we love you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I wonder if there's someone in here. Say, I just need a touch from the Lord. There's someone in here who's saying, I'm struggling and I need some healing in my life. There's some emotional battles that I'm going on. And sometimes I put on a front, but I know that's not right. That's you today. I just want you to slip up your hand really quick. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, yes, I see those hands. Thank you. Put them back down. I want to pray for you quickly. Father, I thank you for these hands that are raised as an act of a sign of submission, Lord, that they want to be changed. Lord, that they're working through the process. Lord, I pray, Father, for just an abundance of, first of all, patience in their life. Lord, I pray, God, for an abundance of courage, Father, to step up and to take stands that may need to be taken, to reject some things that are maybe in their life. And that step of faith to step out and to follow you. But I pray, Lord, I pray for encouragement, Lord, as they're going through this season in their life. Lord, you strengthen them. Lord, I pray for this church, Lord, that we be a church that's open and honest with our issues, with our things. Lord, we be willing to speak to one another and share our hearts and our burdens and our struggles. Lord, that we could be accountable to one another. Lord, that we could pray for one another. We can grow together. We can realize we're not alone. We could grow closer to you. Lord, that we all could get well today. That we wouldn't carry these burdens any longer alone. But Lord, we would grow in you. That, Lord, that our faith would grow and our strength would grow. Lord, we'd be able to fight through and push through the areas in our life, Lord, where we struggle. Lord, even when they're there, Lord, that we can exercise patience and we can be courageous, Lord, and we can have the faith to stand up to them even when they're still there. Well, I pray for those here today who have a real need. Lord, maybe it's a physical need, maybe it's an emotional need or a mental need or even a spiritual need. Lord, I pray, Father, Lord, that your hand would be upon them. Lord, that right now you would lift them up and give them courage this morning. Give them courage today to face the battle, to face the trial, to face the struggle. Lord, I pray that you encourage them today. You lift up and you strengthen their faith this morning. Be with them. Lord, be with our church, Father, as we look to you, and we lift you up. Father, we love you, God. I pray your blessings on every person here today. God, give us safety and security as we roll out of here. Lord, just be with us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone say amen. Thank you all so much for coming today. Hey, let me remind you, ladies, sign up for the women's conference. Don't leave here today without getting information. Make sure you grab some cards, invite some friends. Also, men, if you're coming to the men's conference, make sure you sign up so we have accurate count so we can figure things out. Everyone's willing to welcome to come, but we do need a head count just to help us figure things out. Other than that, we'll see everyone tonight, all the kids tonight, all the youth tonight, and we'll see everyone back here next Sunday. God bless you all.